Good morning, everyone. George Watkins here again on this fabulous Thursday. Hallelujah. It's just good to be alive, and especially alive in Jesus. The life without God and the goodness of God and the understanding of His love is not a good life. It's not filled with promise. It's not filled with future. It's not filled with the security of life everlasting. Whoa, don't want to live that life. I love the life of God, Christ in God. Amen. Well, thank you for stopping by. And if you're new to our channel, stay around a while. Every once in a while, we'll say something important, so you might catch it. And it's good to meet new friends. Let us know you're there. Send us a note. Give us a thumbs up and subscribe on Facebook and like us on YouTube and like us on Facebook. Hallelujah. Well, I want to talk today a little about the faith of a cook. Oh, I wrote a little bit about some of my thoughts on that and how I came to have this title today. The faith of a cook. Think about it for a bit. Recently, I began to contemplate my life, as we do occasionally, and thought about the cooks in my life that have kept me alive. Obviously, my first one was my mother. We had a strange childhood, but it was normal for us. Normal for me. I didn't know any different. Pentecostal traveling preacher's home. And I didn't live anywhere over 2 years till I was 20, 21. And then we settled in Oregon City. But we traveled a lot. And in those early days, I was in the car a lot, going somewhere, traveling to the next meeting, to a convention, to the next church we were going to pastor or spend some time at. And mother always was able to provide a meal for us. There was a flashback I had to the kitchen in Yakima, Washington. I'm about 12, but we had a wood stove, and that kitchen in the wintertime, especially when it was like zero outside, 3 foot of snow or whatever was out there, was a lot of snow. That wood stove was cooking all day long. And on the stove was a pot of coffee for Dad, and soup was always there, or some kind of warm mush, or a baking bread in the oven. Those are the memories you have when you have a cook in the house. And we traveled, and when we traveled in those days, we never stopped at motels or restaurants often, mostly because we didn't have the money. And also in those, in the 50s, there wasn't a lot of restaurants and motels everywhere like there is today. So we ate out of what we had in the car. We'd be traveling along and suddenly a sandwich would come back over, you know, from the front seat to the back seat. Mother was able to produce a sandwich out of what she had at her feet, you know, a cooler, a sack of groceries or whatever it was. So cooks in our life are amazing. Now, the main cook in my life has been my wife, obviously, long, long time. I often said she never met a soup she couldn't change, and she loves to tweak a soup until it fits her taste. Well, she's on a binge right now, or a quest, I should say better. That's a better word, to make the perfect banana bread. And my grandkids are loving it because they get the, you know, they're the test cases. Well, she was cooking the other day and I was sitting there watching her, and she pulls out a sheet of paper and she's got a record of all the banana bread she's made this year, and each one of them with the ingredient and how much she did this and how much sugar she added. And then she'd change this to make this a little different, and the texture was this way. And I thought, as I'm watching her cook, and I said, oh, for the faith of a cook. If we had the faith of a cook, because they believe that ingredients make a difference, and certain ingredients will change the flavor and the course of the outcome. So if you put in a cup of sugar, you're going to get something sweeter. Put in more flour, it's going to be a little different consistency. The faith of a cook, that they believe in what they are handling in their hand, is the same every time they apply it. Then I begin to think about the faith of people in the scriptures. And yet, often we'll apply scriptures one way one day and the next way another day. Sometimes our faith is strong, other times we waffle and wobble. Wonder if the scriptures are going to work today. I thought, oh, just to have the faith of a cook. To know if you're going to put salt in, it's going to change the flavor. Now, for you and I, we put prayer in. We add faithfulness. We put in the consistency of our application of confession. We add and make sure we give to our recipe plenty of worship. And then, of course, the major ingredient is love. You mix that together, you apply that, and it works the same way every time. Just like that cook. You and I are cooking up our future. You and I are making a recipe for life. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, and so forth. And thy neighbor as thyself. That's a recipe for success. And if you'll apply that like the cook does, knowing that when you put that ingredients into the mix of your life, you will have what the scriptures say you will have. Now, the Bible says that if we're faithful, we will receive the crown of life. Jesus said, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. There's a world and a joy that's prepared for you. The joy of the Lord. You'll receive a bunch of it, a big load, because you have mixed into your life that ingredient called faithfulness. Amen. How about the ingredient of forgiveness? Mix that in to the situation when it's sour grapes and, you know, heartburn because you're physically upset over something that took place in your life and somebody that wronged you or, you know, cut you off of the pass, and you just need to add to that recipe forgiveness. And when you do, it will change the whole nature of it. When I was starting out in my long career of preaching, I had an illustrated sermon. I was probably 10, maybe 10 or 11, maybe 9. I think I was about 9. And I had a jar of water in front of me, and I told a story about little Johnny and how he was in Sunday school and he learned about Jesus. And then he went out and playing with the boys, and he did some sinning. He did something wrong. And I had some iodine. I'd drop it in that jar of water, and it would turn it red, you know, color it up, real iodine. And then he came back to church and heard the story again about the forgiveness of God. And so he asked the Lord to forgive him. You see where I'm going. Well, in those days, the druggist had a certain chemical that you could buy. I wouldn't even know the name of it nowadays, but I went in there and I'd buy some. And it was, you'd take a spoonful of it and put it in the water, and it would take the red away from the iodine. And so I'd hold up the glass of water and I'd say, this is what happens when you have forgiveness from God. Your heart is clean and changed. Well, it was a, I was impressed with it. I'm sure somebody else might have been too along the way. Now, you add those things to your life, and the outcome is that your recipe turns out the same every time. Now, I just had a memory, a flashback, and when I do, I'll tell you the end of it here in a minute. When I do remember this, I'm quick to pray for him. I mentioned this a few months ago when I was in California. I was sitting in the hotel lobby waiting for my ride to the airport, and I didn't have my mask on. I know I was the only one in the lobby, big, large room, and the hotel girl, the checker, you know, the desk girl, was way behind me, so I was all alone. In comes this tall young guy, about 30 maybe, packing a baby mattress under his arm, and he sees me, heads straight toward me and starts berating me for not having a mask on. I mean, he's hot. He's using some words I wouldn't repeat. Well, I defused it by putting on my mask and he left. I won't tell you the whole story. Well, it began to eat on me. I should have said this. I could have done that. I should have cut him off of the ankles. No, I was working up a good steam. You know. Well, the Lord said, hey, bud, he didn't just stumble by you. I sent him there for you to pray for him. Well, I finally got a hold of my emotions, and I did. I said, okay, Lord, I repent. And I begin to hold him up before the Lord. Now, this didn't go on. It didn't take 5 minutes to do that. It took a day, maybe, where I had it come back and I'd get upset and it'd come back. And then I realized the enemy was using that as to defeat me, to work on my emotions, to get me angry. The Lord said, you better deal with this because I sent him into your life. And so I began to pray for him. I began to speak his face, at least, didn't know his name. Bring him to Jesus. Bring him to, you know, it didn't last 10 minutes before that was gone. The old enemy didn't bring that up anymore because every time it came up, I prayed for him. I forgave him and prayed for him. Suddenly, I was at peace. But most importantly, God was working on that young man to bring him to Jesus. Now, that's just a little snapshot of something I mixed in with that ingredient for that day, forgiveness. Now, how about tithes and offerings, mixing that into our financial life? Things aren't going well. We're struggling. Every time we turn around, we lose. Scripture talks about giving and receiving, talks about planting seeds of financial things into the kingdom of God through alms, our giving to the poor, to the widow, to the orphan. Offerings are giving to, the church, giving to the ministry of the gospel, missions, and so forth. Tithes, 10% of your income to the storehouse, the scripture talks about. Well, there's a lot of discussion about that from the church world. Well, tithes are Old Testament. Well, I believe the principle is the same. If you'll give, if you'll mix that into your lifestyle, if you'll mix it into the ingredient of what you want to see in your finances, I'm convinced, just like the cook is convinced, when they put in a couple of drops of vanilla, you're going to get a flavor change. So it is if you'll put into your financial life generosity, not just naming it like tithes, offering, alms, but person that is a giver is a receiver. It's an amazing thing. Oh, that I would have the faith of a cook. And that's something. Now, you have the opportunity to mix up your own recipe for success. And you can take the ingredients out of the Word of God and you can put it into your life, and you will have hot bread in the oven. That's going to taste really good. And now as you develop and as you grow in God and in your natural life, you'll have results that will be amazing. If you'll just put in those ingredients that the Word of God offers you. Amen. Well, what I say tonight is cook on, folks, because there's a good meal ahead of you. Hallelujah. Thank you for stopping by and being part of this time this morning. I love all of you, and the ones I know I love. The ones I don't know, I love by faith. Thank you for your support, your prayers, your encouragement, your good comments. And for those that have been nudged by the Lord to send a financial blessing, so appreciative. It keeps us on the go, keeps gas in the tank. Thank you for that. And you can do that through PayPal or the address below. Amen. Well, tomorrow's my favorite day of the week, Friday. We'll see you then. It's going to be a great morning because I'm going to be excited about Jesus. How about you?